Let us pray. Gracious God, send now your Holy Spirit to be among us that we might truly hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today, of all days, we are here together. In person, in this room, worshiping God. I don't know how to feel. I don't know what to say. I don't remember all the things we're supposed to do, as we've all seen already. There's no doubt about that. And so for this unusual and special day, I'm going to do something that is unusual for me and for most preachers, I think, which is that I'm going to talk about our psalm today. The gospel lesson is great, and I'd really like to talk about it. And the second lesson from 2 Corinthians is my favorite, and I really want to talk about it. But today, we're going to talk about Psalm 30. Now, the reason we're going through this psalm is because Psalm 30 takes us through kind of the whole of the human experience. It starts off, I will exalt you, O Lord, because you've lifted me up, have not let my enemies triumph over me. You restored me to health. You brought me from the dead. You restored me to life. I sing praise. It's got that whole section, that whole positive praising section. It goes on. It says, when I felt secure, I said, I will never be disturbed. But then, and so, you know, the psalmist is, where's the thing? Here it is. The psalmist is reading this, or the psalmist is speaking these words to God. The psalmist is praying to God, is thanking God for all that God has done and saying, I could never be moved. God has given me everything. What could I possibly need? And then things sharply turn sideways and everything goes wrong. And the way it says here in the psalm, it says, you hid your face. All of a sudden, God, you hid your face. And I was dismayed. And that little turn right there, the rug is pulled out from under the psalmist. Nothing works anymore. It's almost like a pandemic hit, right? It's almost like everything turned upside down. Everything changed. And now the person, the psalmist, is back to praying to God, begging God for mercy, for relief, for a fresh start once again. Now, this psalm was written, the scholars say, Carolyn Sharp, one of my old professors, wrote, and I read it. She said, this psalm is written for the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem. So fitting that we would use it today on our first day back. Because, remember, Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem, then it was destroyed by the Babylonians, who then took the people away for 70-some years. And when the Babylonian Empire fell and the people were allowed to return to Jerusalem, they rebuilt the temple. And on that rebuilding, and then later they rededicated that temple, they used this psalm to talk about all they had been through and all that they were celebrating in that moment. See, in that dedication of the temple, the people knew that they wouldn't even have had to do this if it hadn't been destroyed in the first place. They had to remember all of the bad things in order to celebrate the good things, in order to really appreciate where they were, in order to understand the true power that God had in the world, that God has in the world for them in their lives. And so I think of that today as we gather in this place. We don't just gather and this is a celebration, this is fun. It's still weird. I mean, we're wearing masks. We're like, we don't know where to sit. Everything. We started like 15 minutes late because we couldn't figure out how stuff works. I still can't get this microphone to work. I can't get my phone to do what I wanted to do. The printer didn't work this morning. That took me 15 minutes. Like all the little things, it doesn't just happen anymore. We can't take anything for granted. And that's a really, really important thing. That's what I love about this psalm and really all the psalms and really all the scriptures, is that the scriptures are pretty realistic about all the garbage that we have to go through in our lives. They're pretty realistic about that. They try to tell us how it really is. Because it's the same then as it is now. I mean, there was definitely pandemics back then. They didn't have vaccines and all those good things to get through it like we do. Maybe they had masks. I don't know. This psalm tells us not only the good parts, not only the joyful parts, but also is realistic about the bad parts. Just like in our gospel lesson, we heard, you know, the little girl on the point of death, the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, and then the girl dies, and Jesus heals the woman by her action more than by his, really. He was just walking along. Lucky him to do the job. It was her initiative that got it done. And then the little girl Jesus raises from the dead so that she can be alive again. It says, give her something to eat. Get her back to normal life. The scriptures don't shy away from the real awful things. We've been through a lot in the last year and a half. And we've been through a lot in the years before that, too. At least now, in this last year and a half with this pandemic, it's something collective, it's something shared, that we can all look and see that we've all been through this together. Hopefully it can bring us closer together. Hopefully it can make us less selfish, more compassionate, more empathetic, more caring for the people we know and the people we've missed, and for the people we don't know, because we don't know what they've been through. I hope in the coming months and years, really, that we can learn how to be church better because of what we've been through. Not that we wanted to go through it, not that it's good, and I don't like silver lining or anything like that even. Just that we will learn from this. And I believe that part of what we can learn is how to be church better than we've been before. How to be more compassionate, more empathetic, more caring, more patient, more forgiving, even, of those around us. Because we've all been through so much. Now, we had our baptism today. Isabel, hi Isabel. I see you down there. Now, when was Isabel born? September 27th. So September of 2020. Right, I remember it was about 9 months ago, right? So September of 2020. Can you imagine, like, being born in September of 2020? What is her life going to be? Right? Like, she came into the world and what? And what did you have to go through? I don't even know. Having a baby in the middle of a pandemic, not cool. Nobody wants to do that. All right? It is not the preferred methodology. Okay? That's not how we want to do it. But you made it. Congratulations. We're here. Woohoo. And you get to, like, see grandparents and all the things now that has been weird for so long. For so long. Isabel is going to grow in a world different than any of us grew up in. Different even than my kids grew up in. Different even than these guys, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. It's a world where we have a little bit better sense of the fragility of life. There's a little less opportunity for us to hide in our own privilege, in our own comfort, in the blessings that God has given us, but has not somehow given to other people. It's going to be different. It's going to be challenging. And hopefully Isabel will grow not with specifically the knowledge of what has been through, but with a sense of the depth of the human experience in all the joys and all the sorrows. It's harder to hide the realities of the world from our children today, with between media and just masks, right? You guys said when you put your mask on, Isabel started crying, right? You can't hide this stuff from kids like maybe we could before. And maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. I don't know. Carol might know. I don't know. Finally, in our psalm today, we come to the part that I've loved since I first heard it when I was in college and my choir sang it in, you know, church one day. And I thought it was absurd and I liked it so much. When in this, where is that verse? Here it is. Ah. So after the psalmist cries out to God, after the psalmist's life has fallen apart, the psalmist cries out to God, tries some bargaining, which I think is a fun, I don't think it worked, but it's a fun tactic. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Trying to tell God, hey, God, I'm on your side. I love you. I worship you. I want to do for you. The dust can't do that, but I can. So let me live so that I can do that stuff. Sort of, like I said, bargaining, pleading with God. But then it gets to my favorite part. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You've taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. All of a sudden, the pleading has been successful. God has changed God's mind. God has turned around the psalmist's life. You've turned my mourning into dancing. And then I always thought the sackcloth part was so ridiculous. When I was in college, we thought that was so funny that we had this useless story, but I'll tell you because I'm talking, right? My friends and I decided to have a sackcloth party, which was like the tamest toga party of all time. Because what in the world is a sackcloth? And what are you wearing? So we had this party where we all just wore ridiculous outfits and called it sackcloth and had a good time. And I've always remembered and I've always loved this psalm for that. Because the thing is, it comes, this sackcloth business is what goes away. The ridiculousness is what goes away. And clothed me with joy. That's actually one of the images that we have for baptism. That you're clothed in a new garment. That's why we wear the white baptismal garment. Can you just lift her up so people can see her cute outfit? I know this is an unreasonable request. Baby as prop. But isn't that adorable? You wear this beautiful baptismal garment, this pure white thing, to symbolize that we have been cleansed from sin, that we have been made pure, that we are fresh and clean as a new baby. I don't know how clean babies, they don't stay clean very long, but they can get clean, right? Just like people don't stay clean long, but you can get clean, all right? You've put off our sackcloth and clothed me with joy, clothed me with that beautiful baptismal garment. Now, most of the people in here have been baptized. I will hazard a guess. I'm pretty sure. And you too live in that same promise, that same clothing, that same joy. That your sackcloth, that your suffering, that all that you've gone through can be put off, and God will clothe you with that which is good and wholesome and healthy and healing. That's the idea. That's what baptism is that God is promising that God will take away all that other garbage and leave you in the end with blessing. Ultimately, that is the message of this psalm. Is that all that we go through is real. All the suffering, all the pain, all the uncertainty, all the fear, all the pandemic, all the whatever. That's real. And we can't ignore it, and we can't dismiss it, and we can't hide from it. And that stuff is never the end of our story. That's the point of this psalm. That all of that will be taken away, and that God will bless us. That life and love and blessing will be the end of our story. Each of us and all of us together. That's the message of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. That's the message of this psalm. That's why we gather here this morning. To celebrate together again. Amen.